Days of Fire. And
you know, when you were born in the earth, as far as creation is concerned, you were not wanted. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you weren't wanted. As far as the world goes, you were like an infant whose umbilical cord was not even cut. You were just thrown out on the ground, bloody, and left to die. In fact, if it was left up to Satan, you would have never even been born. But here's the deal. You see, it didn't go that way because Jesus intervened. Because of his grace, your cord was cut. When that doctor reached across and cut your cord, that was the grace of Christ working in your life. Because of his grace, you were picked up, you were washed off, you were wrapped in a warm blanket, and suckled at your mother's breast. You may think that you had good parents, but you didn't. You had a good Lord. Now, I know that some of you think that the doctor delivered you and your, cut your umbilical cord, and you think that your mother was the one who fed you. You give credit to the things of this world for being the source of your life, but you're mistaken. The next breath you take is the grace of God. It's his dime that buys everything that's good for you. It was the grace of Jesus that caused your mother to love you. Even if she wasn't a Christian, it was his grace that caused her to pick you up and to raise you and to take care of you, whether she did well or not so well. It was his grace. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 56. Because we're going to look at how mothers are when they're left to themselves, without the grace of God working in their lives. Let's see what a mother is. It says, we'll preach this on Mother's Day. No, I'm kidding. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that they would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, or begrudge the husband she loves and her own son and daughter. Touch the ground. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son and daughter, the afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears, for in her dire need she intends to eat them secretly because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. So there's a description of a mother when the grace of God is at not work in her life. And if a mother's that way, you can think how us dads are. See, when your enemy is in control, this is what the world's like. I'm going to give you a picture. It's foolish to give credit to what kills you for being the source of your life. And the world is not the source of your life, nor is it your friend. Without the grace of Jesus, your mother is not your friend, or your father, or anyone else. Even if you think that you had the best mother in the world, you know that she wasn't perfect. And if it wasn't for Jesus, she wouldn't have been as good as she was. She'd have tossed you out on the day that you were born. The world is not for you. It's stacked against you. From the moment that you appear, you are doomed. You may not have known it. You didn't know it because you didn't see him. But it is Jesus' affection for you that got you as far as you've gotten. Whether your life is good or bad, the good part came from Jesus. The bad part comes from the world. Jesus is not the one who's crushing you. He is the one who's sustaining you in spite of all the forces that are coming against you. He's the one who is dropping into your life and holding back the forces of darkness. He's the only one who has always cared for you Whether you realized it or knew it or recognized it, that's how it was. He is the reason that you were not cast out on the ground on the day that you were born. Jesus has always been your benefactor. Even though he doesn't hide, you may not have seen him or realized that. You see, I love you. I'm your friend, but only because of the grace that I have benefited from. And if it wasn't for the grace that is working in my life, grace that came to me, even though I wasn't seeking it, I'd have tossed you out on the ground for the vultures, just like everyone else. I don't know how much bad stuff you have experienced in your life. I imagine, like most people, there's probably a lot. But all the good stuff is Jesus at work. All this time, day after day, you may not have recognized it. You may not have known, but it's Jesus. You may think that if you haven't received Jesus or believed in him, that he hasn't been busy on your behalf. Or you may think that he doesn't start helping you until you become a professing Christian. You may think that he's the one making it hard for you. But let me tell you something. He is the only one who has ever worked on your behalf. Starting before you were conceived in the womb. You may refuse to acknowledge it, but every good thing that happens to you from now on is Jesus telling you that he loves you. Let me tell you what happened. See, you were lying there bloody and naked, and he came along and he washed you. He fed you. He gave you a home, parents, whatever. He made you grow. And after several years, he noticed that you had entered puberty, and your breast had formed. But you were naked, stark naked. You had no clue about how you came to be. You had no clue who your benefactor was, who was supporting you, who was for you. You thought your enemy was your friend. You thought the things that give life come from the dirt, from the earth. As far as understanding goes, you're stark naked. But then, more time passed and he noticed that you were old enough for love. And he began to court you. And he called you by name. And when you responded, he spread his garment over you and he covered your nakedness. And that was the time in your life when you accepted Jesus into your heart. That was the time that you put your faith in him. And it was a good day. He entered into a covenant with you and gave you his solemn oath. He bathed you with water. He washed you with the blood, washed the blood from you, and he put ointments on you. He adorned you with jewelry, jewels from heaven, not from earth. He put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. He put a ring in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. And then there you stood, adorned with gold and silver. And the angels were in awe of you. And your clothes were fine linen. And your food was honey, olive oil, and the finest flour. You became a beautiful queen. He gave you splendor. Your beauty was perfect, declares the sovereign Lord. He took you, who was rejected, and he made you his very own. And though he did all this for us, yet the day came when we began to trust in the work of our hands. We took the beauty that he gave us, and we struck out on our own. We made ourselves prostitutes to the world. We looked at the world as desirable in place of Jesus. We considered it to be the place where good things are found. Not only did we prostitute ourselves, but we couldn't get enough of it. We lavished our passions on the things that were killing us, and we took the silver and the gold that Jesus gave us, and we made idols with them. Instead of loving him, we loved the things of the world more and more. and our passion for what the world could offer grew strong. Why couldn't we remember the days when we were kicking in our blood? Instead of increasing in promiscuity, we wanted to play with the world. We wanted what the world had to offer. We became hot and we burned inside for the world. In our minds, the world became the guy with the big stuff. And that's the picture of our walk with God. I hope you're shocked. I was shocked. And I would have shocked you a lot more, except we have kids in here with us today. But our passions need to be set on Christ. And if it's not, one way or another, you are going to be cured. You can be cured through faith that comes through the Word of God. Or you can be cured by the fire that's coming. But the days of ignoring our Savior in such a brazen fashion are coming to an end very soon. The days of our flirtations with the world are soon to be over. Devastation is coming. And it's not God's doing. But it will be the best thing that has ever happened. When it is over, our hearts will be true to God. But you don't need to be a part of the school of devastation. You are free to make choices. You don't have to be blind. There's a better way. It's better to have our eyes or your eyes open through grace than through fire. The church is a shelter for the storm that is coming. If the church is weak, then the shelter is weak. Jesus is going to make sure that the church is strong. And for us, the fire is the light and momentary problems that we face. That's the purifying force that works in our lives when we don't have faith or put our trust in God. But the fire that is coming will not be light. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. For the Lord will carry out His sentence on the earth with speed and finality. The Lord's sentence is coming upon the earth. It isn't supposed to come upon you. God's not mad at you. He's mad at the world who tempts you. It isn't supposed to be upon you. The one who is tempting you. The one who has the big stuff that you can't stay away from. That is the one that Jesus is coming to destroy. And those who have fully vested themselves in the world, those who are in bed with Him, will be destroyed along with Him. By vested, I mean that the worldly things are more important to you than Jesus is. If you are a Christian and are vested in this world, your light and momentary troubles were not enough to convince you that Jesus was your only friend. Instead of being destroyed by the fire that's coming, it will be the final fire that refines you. The heat that comes from the light and momentary troubles wasn't enough to burn off the dross. Well, guess what? The fire that's coming will burn off the dross. You will be refined by the sentence of fire that is coming upon the earth. A fire 7 times hotter. And whatever degree your heart is vested in the world, that's going to be fixed. And it will not be pleasant. But it will yield great results. Because in the end, you will turn away from the world and back to Jesus. You will be saved. But you can be spared all that. You can become invincible to the coming fire. You can let God's word refine you. Faith in Jesus will preserve you when the devastation shows up. You'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast into the fiery pit without the smell of smoke upon your lives. That can be a choice. Think of playing with a hot potato. Worldly treasures are the hot potato. And, you know, you can prostitute yourselves to the world if you want to. I mean, the world is the guy with the big potato. And you can hold on dearly to the potato for as long as you want. But in the end, you're going to drop that potato. You might be a mess, huddled in a dark corner, murmuring, but you will forget your affections for worldly things. And like the prodigal son, you will long for your real home. And you will be cured. That's the good news. But you do not need to be driven to remorse in that way. You can turn your affections towards Jesus today. He has been the one who's been responsible for all the good stuff in your life from the very beginning. Why not give him the love that he gives you? Why should he have to tolerate you prostituting yourself to the one who's killing you, who has never done anything good for you? Why should he have to put up with that while you ignore him? If the other guy romancing you actually loved you, maybe you would have a case. But the world does not love you. And it's the one who tosses you out. And Jesus, he's the one who does love you. And he's the one who picks you up. If he has blessed you with grace, even while you have ignored him, how much blessing will you receive when you devote yourself to him? The bride will be purified. And if you are not swept off your feet by his love, instead your desires to chase after the world, instead your desires to chase after the world, you're going to regret it. The day will come. You will regret your affair with other lovers. God gave us his word so that we could gain understanding. We are destroyed for a lack of understanding. God doesn't want you to go through the wine press. That's not his plan or his desire for you. He wants to cover you with his love. He wants to pour out his kindness on you while the world suffers from its sentence. He wants you to be invincible. No matter how hot the fires get, he wants you to be able to live at peace. He wants you to be invincible from the fire that's coming. He does not want you to be harmed along with the world. That's not his desire. But if you are in bed with the world when judgment comes, it's going to hurt. I myself cannot bear the thought of the suffering some of the Lord's children are going to go through. But I'm comforted in the knowledge that in the end, they will be saved. Right now, the church is the best place that you can be. The world may care less about the things of God more and more every day, but let us care more. Don't wait for your flesh to tell you which way to go. Listen to your heart. The thing about the world is once you get out of bed with her or him, once you break your unrestrained passion for the things of the world, you'll see that the world is ugly. It's an ugly place. You'll see that the world is world. You'll see the world for what it really is, and you will wonder why you were ever attracted to the world in the first place. Once you get out of bed with the world and start gazing upon Jesus, he will be the most amazing prize that you have ever looked at. And you'll kick yourself for dating the world for so long. When you look at the world and you know you break out in that love sweat and your body begins to quiver, it's based on an illusion. The Bible warns a married man that when he gets next to a woman who makes him quiver, run. Run and run fast. It's not what you think. The woman is really just the world. Let the word of God open your eyes. Otherwise, it will be the sentence on the world that wasn't meant for you that will open them. And if you won't listen to me, and you come to that dark, dark place that I've spoken about, don't double down. Don't get mad at God. Remember, it isn't Jesus who's punishing you. It's the world that's being punished. And you're just being caught up with it. You are simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. And when the time comes, when that time comes, I will not be able to save you. And no person will be able to save you. Only Jesus can. And it's never too late. He will come and save you as soon as you will let him. God is not counting your sins against you. He paid for all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He's not mad. The problem is that we don't get out of bed, the bed with our enemy, and receive his forgiveness. We're too busy betting the neighbor, you know, with the big potato. Even if you can't break your habit, you know, you vow that you will, but then the next thing you know, you're back in bed once again. When you turn over in your lover's bed, and you know, and you're laying there ashamed, say a prayer to Jesus. He'll come get you. He'll save you. He'll pull you out of that place. He won't be mad. He'll be there in an instant to give you all the help that you need. You just have to let him. He'll be glad, and he'll give you eyes so that you can see accurately who your friends are and who your enemies are. And the world's not your friend. Jesus is your friend. And it may take some time to heal from all the abuse that you've been afflicted with, that you've suffered. But happy days will come. He will heal you and mend your wounds and raise you up. He'll put fresh air in your lungs. Blessed days will overtake you. Is there someone here today who needs to reach out to Jesus for help? Maybe you're a Christian whose passions are misplaced. Maybe you don't know if you are a Christian, but you want to reach out to Jesus. Maybe you know that you're not a Christian and you want to respond to him today. You know, if you're one of those people, would you just bow your heads? I want to say a prayer, and I want you to say this prayer with me. You don't need to repeat it aloud. Just say it in your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've always been my benefactor, that you've always loved me, that you've always planned good things for me. And even when I ran and rejected you and did my own thing, Lord, you still were there, holding back the darkness, sustaining a bit of light. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness throughout the generations to a people who have ignored you and insulted you and done unbearable things. We've broken our trust and our vows and everything else. Lord, I thank you that you would restore us in our hearts, that you would help to turn our face towards you, to choose you, to walk with you, to know you, to see your beauty. And Lord, that you would remove the beauty that the world holds in our eyes. Help us to understand, Lord God. Help us each and every day, Lord, to know you more. Today we choose you, Lord. We thank you for it. And if you said that prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I hope you meant it, and I hope you'll give Jesus a chance in your heart. It takes time.